You're listening to the Prepper Recon Podcast. For questions, comments, and podcast archives, go to PrepperRecon.com. Ready-Made Resources is a trusted name in the prepper community because they've been around for 18 years. They offer great prices on night vision, water filtration, long-term storage food, solar energy components, and provide free technical service. Get ready for an uncertain future at ReadyMadeResources.com.
I've personally been buying gold and silver from JM Bullion for over 2 years. They offer the best prices over spot that I can find, and I've never had a problem with an order. If you're looking to trade in some of your fiat paper for real money, check out jmbullion.com today.
Today's guest is Bob Griswold of Ready Made Resources. Bob, happy new year, and welcome back to the show.
Well, same to you. Let me turn this sound down right now so we don't get any background from my computer. I apologize for that. But anyhow, no, it's really good to be here. And I tell you, we did a little talk before the show, and I think the Lord's speaking some of the same things to your heart as He's speaking to mine. And we base these things on the Scripture. The Scripture is the only foundation we have in these perilous times that is certain, that is unmovable, that we can base our eternal life on. Our you know, when we stand before God after we've lived this life, if we've based our action on the Scripture, we will stand well before the Lord. If we base it on anything else, we will suffer loss.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I sense today that there's a grand deception going through our country and world, and I just really want to mention it so that people maybe would give it a consideration and not fall for something that looks good but might not be what the kingdom of God is doing.
Absolutely. And before we get started, and it is so in lockstep with what you're going to talk about, I think we need to issue a call to arms this month. Marks the 45th anniversary of Roe v. Wade and March for Life. It's the largest organized event that gives a voice to the 3,288 American citizens who are murdered every day in their mother's womb. And the national event is in Washington, D.C. It's on January 19th. But most states and most major cities have localized events as well. And most of them are going to be this coming weekend. Ours here in Vero Beach is this Sunday, the 21st. And then other locations, you know, where they have a really huge movement, where they try to do something locally last weekend, and then a lot of those folks will go to D.C. next weekend, and so hopefully next year we'll maybe get a little farther out in front of this for our call to action. But last weekend, St. Augustine, Florida, had their really, really big one, their March for Life, and that was last Friday and Saturday, and you know, if you ever wonder how prayer, how the Bible were taken out of school by really a handful of people, but you know, Madeline Murray O'Hare was really the only real voice to that whole movement, but she just had a smattering of people around her. And you wonder how, when 90% of the country professed to be Christians at that time, how this woman and a few of her little demonic cohorts radicalized America against God. And you wonder, how did that happen? Well, it's easy. The left understands political activism, and the right is just full of armchair pundits. And unfortunately, so many folks on our side aren't willing to write a letter to the representatives or stand up in a protest, unless maybe it's for a tax bill. You know, I'm going to be ashamed, Bob, to stand before God and tell Him what a great tax bill our team managed to pass, yet with Republicans in control of the House, the Senate, the Oval Office, we couldn't get a personhood bill or a sanctity of life bill even called to the floor for a vote. And that's just, I think, absolutely reprehensible. And whatever this country gets, we deserve it. But I do pray that our listeners are going to do a quick Google search, find out where your local event is, If you can make it to DC this coming weekend, I mean, that's fantastic, and that's great. But if not, you know, look up, see what's going on locally in your town or maybe your state capital, if that's not too far of a drive. And if you did miss it this year, you're not able to come, you're not able to make it out, then maybe consider making a special donation to, you know, a local single mom ministry or an organization like Center for Medical Progress, because, you know, they did so much to shine a light on this atrocity through their undercover videos. And 60 million children have been murdered since Roe v. Wade, Bob. That's 10 times the number of Jews that were killed in the Holocaust. How much longer will God hide his face from our sins?
Well, he never hides his face from our sins in reality. He allows the full measure of judgment to come about, and then he brings judgment on the land. And I want to state right now, there's a twofold judgment in this Holocaust that we've committed. And I want to state, it's called unrequited blood. It means God holds innocent blood accountable to the people that shed it, if it's an individual or if it's a nation. Just go into Google and just type in what God says about innocent blood. And, you know, one of the things, they have hands that shed innocent blood. They rush in to shed innocent blood, and God hates this. Now, when God hates something, you better pay attention to it, because you don't want to be on that side of the hate. When God hates something, you don't want to be on the side of something God hates, because that will involve your eternal destination, and you do not want to find on the day that you stand before God that you come up short. This is 60 million people that have been innocently murdered. It's unrequited. No one has yet paid for it. And yet God is going to bring swift judgment on our nation. And when it happens, I don't think we're going to recover from it. If you remember King Josiah, even though King Josiah went in and tore down all the high places, he went and decimated the temple, the pagan temples. God looked at him and said, even though you have done a righteous thing, for the wickedness that has gone on before you, I will bring judgment on the land, and I will not change. It is written in stone, basically, is what he said. I will forestall this judgment while you are king. But once you go, the judgment will come. This one thing is going to bring God's judgment on our land like nothing else. And that's what I wanted to address. I know so many Christians right now, Mark, that have this feeling that happy days are here again because of the Republicans won. And is that what we have boiled the kingdom of God down to? Is that what we have boiled God's values down to, the Republicans winning, Donald Trump winning? And don't get me wrong, I'm very glad he won compared to the crone that would have been in there. I'm very glad that he won, but I do not see any national calling of repentance for the shed blood of these innocents in any measurable way. I mean, I don't know how many people participate in these right to life marches, but it's probably a fraction of 1% of a nation. I don't see how many people are calling for the abolition of homosexual marriage, and we celebrate that. Even the Christian church is celebrating it, or at least ignoring it because they're afraid. And I take all these things, the crass materialism. I mean, we are basing God's blessing right now, I know Christians are, the fact that the stock market is doing good. That is based saying God is blessing us because we have a lot of material junk. Mark, how do we fall for such things? When we look at the scripture and say the unrequited blood of 60 million people, the mockery that our nation is making of the divine thing of marriage, the materialism, the breaking apart of marriage. God says he hates divorce, and yet we see divorce rampant through our land. Do you know, Mark, that only one-third of American boys are raised by their biological father? Do you think a nation can survive that? Do we really think that because the stock market is good, that we're gonna ignore that fact that young men in this country are being abandoned? We are not, and I really want to call God's people And I'm nobody special. I just read the Bible and try to do what it says. I'm nobody special. But do we really think we're going to escape? You ask me, how much longer? I think we're facing part of it right now because we have murdered, just on an economic point of view, we have murdered the people that would be paying my Social Security and all those benefits. The taxpayer base has been murdered. 60 million taxpayers have been murdered. And so what do we have to do? We have to open our country up to people who do not even hold the values of our God, Islam, flood the nation with anybody who wants to come here just because they can make a paycheck and pay taxes. And we do not see that our nation has fundamentally changed from a nation that once honored God to a nation that honors Lucifer. And I challenge anybody to debate that with me. Overall, our national policy is to worship Lucifer and what he promotes. And I would just caution people, do not be deceived. You know, Jesus said that in the end times, that he said over and over again, do not be deceived. That means the deception out there would be very great. It's not like some minor deception. It's a powerful deception. In fact, he throws in things that are kind of like, it's almost like a seeming paradox, that there's going to be great times and great tribulation. And if we don't understand that, I think a lot of times it's because we don't understand the economy of God. You can have a very prosperous nation that can be doing all kinds of things with money and that sort of thing, and you can have a nation that is rotting at the core spiritually, where it's churches, it's people, the Christian population are walking in ignorance. They're not walking in according to God's law, commandments, and they're under a delusion that somehow, because there's money floating around, that God's in it all and is going to bless us. Mark, I grieve over that. It's a travesty. You know, the other night I was just pondering, you know, just people when they die and they stand before and all of a sudden they realize they're in outer darkness. And they realize, I missed the mark. And there is no do-overs. I've missed the mark. I thought I was there, but I wasn't. And you're cast into outer darkness. And Jesus said there would be many, many like that. That missed the mark. Now, this isn't to instill fear in the true believers, because we have the eternal promise of God that he will keep us. And if we are walking, as we are allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our life and walking according to our understanding of God's word, we are going to make mistakes. It's not that we're going to be perfect, but our desire is going to be to please him. But Mark, I was pondering, and I'm just telling you, when I was pondering this in prayer, just such a horror feeling came upon me of what it's going to feel like for those that stand before the Lord, and he says, "Depart from me, into outer darkness, into hell, into the, you know, the fire prepared for the devil and his angels." And so I want to encourage people and challenge them at the same time. Going back to the unrequited blood of 60 million children, do not be deceived. Just because judgment has been forestalled for 45 years does not mean it's not coming. I believe it's close to the door. I believe the full measure of our judgment is about here. And when it comes, we're going to see disaster that will be unparalleled in American history. I don't think it takes too much to see that our nation is really in a civil war mentality, where one half of the country hates the other half of the country. And so I would just tell God's people, you know, to stay in his word. Make sure that you're praying. If you have a spouse, I'm telling you, there's something about praying with your spouse and reading the Bible with your spouse on a daily basis. It protects your marriage. You know, and that's where Satan is attacking so strongly today, is in the marriage of the Christian family, to break it apart, because he knows if he can break mom and dad apart, he has the kids. And so I would encourage Christian men to take it upon themselves to say, honey, tonight we're going to read the Bible together. Now, if you've never done that before, it might be a bit of a surprise, but you make it a pattern and pray together daily. You know, when you do that, I can't look at my wife, Mark, and be mad at her and pray with her and read the Bible. Something about that I can't do, you know. And so I challenge people to do that. But again, do not be deceived. We are not entering a golden age right now. We are entering an age of deception. And it's going to be great, and many will be swept up into it. So I tell people to prepare. Obviously, I run ready-made resources. I still think it's absolutely crucial to prepare physically, and then also to make sure that your heart is right with the Lord and that you keep short account with Him, keep in His Word, pray, and then, again, look at the values that God extols and expects of a nation and see if they're congruent with what we're doing. And I tell you, if you do, I think you've got to come up realizing that we are falling way, way short.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Whether your plan is to bug out or bug in, CampingSurvival.com has all of your preparedness needs, including fish antibiotics, long-term storage food, and water filters. Use coupon code PREPRECON for 5% off your order at CampingSurvival.com. Trading Post in the Woods is ran by veteran crisis responders who know how important it is to be prepared. They specialize in comprehensive natural survival remedy kits, preparedness and homesteading supplies, as well as skills training. Visit them online today at tradingpostinthewoods.com. I love what you said about, you know, praying together as a family. My wife and I, we used to sort of wake up at different times, and we both had sort of our own routines. And so my prayer time was before I get out of bed, and then we both would read our Bible separately because it was at separate times. But then after Grace was born, you know, she was feeding all the time, so she barely had time to feed herself. So one of the things I started doing was reading the Bible in the morning with my wife and my daughter. And you're right, it's a very empowering thing. And you know, that was a big sort of a change in our life, having a baby. And so that was the time when I reflected and said, okay, what kind of things need to be changed now that the baby's coming? But you know, we've just come into a new year, 2018. This is another one of those times of sort of reflection when you look at your life and you look at the way you've been living it, and I think this is a great time for Christians to take account of their life. You know, people do it for health reasons or for financial reasons. You know, January 1st, it's a big time for looking at all that, and I think it's a great time for spiritual stuff. You know, if you're not reading the Bible, I think this is a great time to start. If you're not reading the Bible with your wife or praying with your wife, this is a great time to start that. And you know, it's just you get caught up in the hustle and bustle, and you kind of get a groove that gets you through the week, and that's understandable. But you got to make sure that groove doesn't become a rut. And this is a fantastic time to make those adjustments like that. That, you know, a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now are going to make such a huge difference. And especially if it's your children and you're reading the Bible to your children. You know, we talk so much about homeschooling, and you're always saying you can't send your children to Caesar and not expect to get a Roman back. And you know, and I think a lot of people take that to heart. And I think a lot of people try to do what they can. And I think that there's some people that, you know, unfortunately, they still have their children in that public school system, and maybe they just don't feel like they have other choices right now. And more than anybody else, they need to be countering all that demonic programming they're getting in there with washing their children in the Word and reading the Bible themselves to their children to counter that. And, you know, 15, 20 minutes of Bible reading every day still doesn't do a whole lot for to counter 6 hours of programming from the public school systems. But, you know, maybe you're giving them a fighting chance.
Yeah, I would say this, Christian, if there's any way possible, and I'll go even further. If you have to arrange your budget any way, if you have to downsize any way, it is worth your children's souls. A high 90% of children raised in Christian families that go through public school, those children, after graduating public school, will never go back to church. it is extremely effective at doing what it does, and that's destroying the faith of our fathers. All you have to do is just look at the national statistics. So putting your children in public schools is an almost for sure way to make sure they will never, ever step foot in a Christian church again. That's just the facts. I didn't make them up. If you want to get mad at me, I'm sorry. Those are the facts. So I would say, is any way possible, get your children out of public school, because, again, it is a completely godless, secular, humanistic, demonic philosophy at the core of public school. You cannot talk about God as creator. And if you read the book of, book of Romans, the denial of God as creator is the beginning of human depravity. It's there all written down in Romans 1. And it takes it from progression. There's a threefold abandonment in Romans 1 where he abandoned them, But it all started when they denied God as creator. You cannot go to a public school today and acknowledge God as creator, that he is the one that created him, and because he created you, you have obligation to him. You cannot indoctrinate and teach children those tenets, and because you cannot do it, they're being taught that they're mere chance and probability, and because of that, there are no absolutes, because it would just happen by chance. So nothing is right, nothing is wrong. I can do whatever I want to do, and besides that, I might be one of 37 different genders. You're not going to escape the mathematics of what's happened here. Just read the statistics. Public school is probably one of the greatest destruction mechanisms that Satan has ever implemented in the church to get God's people to put their children into places where it will destroy their soul. I know people will be mad at me for saying that, Mark, but I have to say it. You know, if you read, going back to the abortion thing in Psalms 106, it starts at 34, they did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. Now, when you put your children in public school, that's basically what you're doing. You're putting them in a bunch of heathen and you're learning their works. They served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood, and they were defiled with their own works, and went a-whoring after their own inventions. Psalms 106, 34 through 39. So I think that pretty much spells out what the abortion thing is, and it also touches on to the fact that we have the greatest obligation to our children that we can imagine. You know, Mark, I was pondering just some things one day, and it just dawned on me, and I would say maybe a little divine nugget here that God gave me. You know, we know in this universe that God has created angels, cherubim, seraphim. There's things called watchers in the Bible. I don't understand what they all are. I know he also made humans. And unto the human he gave, unto us, he gave me and my wife the ability to produce an eternal being. Think of that for a second. When my wife and I, through our physical union, we produce another human being, that human being is an eternal being. Now, that should be staggering to think of that. All of a sudden, my wife and I have just made a being which is never going to die. It's going to live forever. What obligation do I have towards that? The product of our bodies that has a spiritual dimension to it that'll live forever. I think that is a staggering thought. We know he didn't give it to the angels because it says the angels don't reproduce. But right. Unto us, he gave us this ability to make people that live forever. So it's staggering. And then again, all the more Satan wants to destroy those, so he destroys them in the womb. It's all tied together. So again, my call and my proclamation to people who are listening, and you can judge for yourself, is that we have a severe judgment on the land, and it will be catastrophic. And war and division is coming to our soil in a way we can't even imagine. and that God will call people, like I said, to get their hearts right with him so that whatever the case, if I die tonight, I stand before the Lord, I stand in the light, stand in the truth. And he also has commanded me to prepare for my family because, as you know, I've done a lot of traveling in my life to places where there's a lot of conflict or war, poverty, whatever. And when you see deprivation and what people do to alleviate their deprivation, whether it's food, whatever it is, it's pretty dramatic. And so I would tell people still to be praying about getting ready for a divine judgment because the scripture is very clear. It will be sudden. Sudden destruction comes upon them, and they shall not escape. So when this judgment comes, Mark, we can see it building. We can see it building like birth pangs, but all of a sudden, when it comes, it is going to be very, very rapidly, and the people who have not prepared spiritually or physically, they will not escape it. It's gonna swallow them up.
Oprah 2020, is that going to be our judgment? And I say that a little tongue-in-cheek, but then again not, because she really embodies all of this deception that you're talking about of, you know, whatever's right for you is what's right, and that's the deception you've been talking about, and there's no absolute truth, which that statement in and of itself contradicts itself. But because
well, she's welcome in a lot of the these larger pulpits of these false prophets in the United States.
Oh, absolutely.
They have very large congregations. She's welcome there to speak. And she comes and speaks and spews out this demonic heresy that Jesus isn't the only way, that there are many ways to God, and you need to find your own path to God. But there are many ways. And yet we know from the scripture there is only one way, and that's through the agency and the work of Christ that is upon the cross, that his sacrificial death paid the price of the iniquity of my sins, and that his resurrection gives me the access to be raised into newness of life. That is the only agency for salvation there exists in the entire universe, and it's only open to humans. So when I hear people stating that there are other ways and that these people are being invited into some of the largest Christian churches in the country, I realize it is a nation that has lost the mooring of the scripture as its foundation and that we will be in judgment. Yeah, Oprah Winfrey could, I mean, Barack Obama was a judgment upon our land. And, you know, we have this slight respite, maybe, I don't know. I personally think 2018 is going to be a very, very tumultuous year. I don't see God sitting back and letting us enjoy the fruits of what we think are his blessing, and they're not. The only reason we enjoy those is because those who will be deceived. And those that hear the voice of God, those that are in the scripture, will walk and understand the times in which we live, and they're very, very perilous times.
That's the end of the first half of my interview with Bob Griswold. Tune in next week for the rest of the show.
The Days of Elijah, Book 4, The Seventh Vial, by bestselling author Mark Goodwin, is now available in paperback, Kindle, and audio edition. The ultimate battle, which will decide the fate of heaven and earth, has finally come. Everett and Courtney Carroll have fared better than most through the past 7 years of the Great Tribulation. But the eve of Armageddon refuses to let them live out the last hours of this present age without conflict, trouble, and persistent peril. The Bible has prophesied of the seven vials of God's wrath, the final judgments which will utterly destroy what's left of a decimated planet. These calamities will bring a plague of festering boils upon the followers of the Antichrist. Rivers and seas will turn to blood, and a global earthquake will raise the cities of the earth to the ground. All of this in the midst of the war to end all wars. It won't be the first time they've been trapped between a rock and a hard place, but it might be the last. Don't miss the final chapter of this end times sensation. Get your copy from Amazon.com today.